Hello, everybody, and welcome to 3 Men in a Beard, the Houston Rockets podcast for the 2nd of May 2016. We are a Multiple Sources podcast, and today I'm your host, Jazz, and I'm joined by Max and Jeff. How's it going, guys?
Going well.
I mean, yeah, can't complain. Or, I mean, I guess I can complain, but I mean, I'll be, just for the sake of sanity.
Just for brevity, we'll just say we can't complain.
Even Let's though just pretend so like everything's fine.
Yeah, it's that old adage. I mean, like, somebody asks you how you're doing, you say fine, even though, you know, like, your wife left you and the mortgage can't be paid this month because you got fired. Yeah, you're just like, I'm fine. Whatever.
Oh, along with all the other Houston fans, we've probably just been, like, curled up in a corner, just rolling, just like, it'll always be next season.
Will there be next season?
Oh, they're just gonna stop the NBA, like, right, like the Rockets will, like, disband.
No, the NBA will go on, just not with us.
Well, like, it was a good ride.
You guys are too dysfunctional to be allowed back in.
It'll still be better than this season, though.
That's true. It'd be less heartbreak and less anguish.
At least we'll, like, know that we won't get, like, broken hearts every game that we watch. Because there'll be nothing to watch.
You know, the Rockets ended the season as they began and continued throughout the season as terrible, terrible heartbreakers. So yes. they are who we thought they were.
We should have seen this coming, and we did. And
yeah, we definitely saw it coming. I think all of us basically predicted exactly what was going to happen this series.
It seemed like it's exactly, like, just, like, on a tangent. Like, this whole series seemed to be, like, kind of like a carbon copy of the Western Conference Finals last year. Like, I think we even won Game 3 of that series as well, and then got destroyed in the following two games. So it was just, like, nothing has changed in this whole year except Stephen Curry played less games this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year he wasn't the dominant force that he was this year. I mean, so last year, I mean, he didn't win MVP of the finals. Their sixth man won MVP of the finals. Steph Curry had a kind of a pedestrian finals and didn't really do too crazy against us. I mean, it was just more of like a team effort. So, I mean, it was surprising when he went down and that we still couldn't put up a fight. But in retrospect, looking at last season, you kind of realize that we couldn't put up a fight back when he was just kind of, he was a good player, obviously. He was an all-star and he won the MVP last year, but he was so much better this year that MVP Steph Curry looks average from last year.
I can't wait to get Steph Curry. Can't wait to get that My Team card on 2K. I'll be dominating everybody. I'm just joking.
He's gonna be like 100 every stats. There you go.
I'll never use that card. I'll have it and I'll sell it immediately because I'll never use Steph Curry.
Man, this is what happens anytime the Rockets get eliminated or it starts the off season. I really want to play NBA 2K just to, like, you know, like the what if scenarios.
It's like, if I were a part of this team,
the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, can you imagine? Because I did that like a month ago, and like, what was it? Ty Lawson was like on the team because, you know, he started the season with the Rockets, and like he was like good Ty Lawson, you know, in 2K, but like on the actual Rockets, he wasn't. You know, obviously, you know that, you know, the season.
Well,
happened,
in 2K, they don't have, you know, actual personalities and drinking problems and stuff like that. I mean, that's the thing. Like in the video game, like you can't make the player. Like, you can't have the D'Angelo Russell situation in NBA 2K. We're not, the technology's not there yet.
That's a real story.
Yeah, dude, imagine you're playing 2K, and then all of a sudden one of your players, like, sleeps with another player's wife, and it just causes, like, the down, you know, like, what do you do as a GM at that point? That's where we need to get with video games for the real NBA experience, honestly.
That would certainly be a different playthrough of the game.
I won't be happy until it happens.
I just can't wait. They really need to get up to date with the animation, like with Ty Lawson, and then when he's on the court, they just need to give him like those cartoon swirls for eyes when he's drunk.
You know, back in another sports game, in a NFL game, Madden, I think it was like 2007 or something. They had it to where players would like go out into the local newspaper and demand a trade or something like that. So I mean, it was like, you know, little hints of what was to come. But yeah, that I'm telling you guys, we need random events in which your players have terrible locker room presences, and you have to call them into the office. You have like your secret one-on-one meeting. You call James Harden to the office and you say, okay, look, this Chloe stuff is getting out of hand. And you have, you know, multiple options of what you can choose. You can tell him to, like, you know, be your own man, or you can tell him, you know, do whatever you want, or you can tell him, like, we're trading you. That's the real NBA experience.
That would be amazing. I would love that.
You guys can tell I don't want to talk about the actual games that happened.
None of us do, but here we are, and we must soldier on. Oh man, so I guess just like a recap as quickly as we can of this godforsaken series. The Houston Rockets we did lose to the Warriors, as everyone knows, in 5 games. And just to the point of Steph Curry not playing, like in the 2 games he did play, and the 5 games overall, he only played 37 minutes in total. So
wow,
that is not a good sign for any Rockets fans or really like anyone thinking that we could put up a fight against a Steph Curry-less Warriors, as you said, Max. So that was not good. Not good looks.
I wonder if James Harden played fewer than 37 minutes in any game this series. And
maybe
the final game. Maybe the final game, yeah, where he sat.
Or I say the blowout, like there was only one. Like, no, I think there were like two or three.
Yeah, which blowout, Jeff?
I think I was referring to the game one where...
Game like, one, yeah.
But I mean, I think game seven, there was like... No, game seven.
Game seven. You're getting a little too crazy there, Jeff.
Yeah.
Wait, you're having some revisionist history going on already.
Let's just act like
it was a game seven, guys.
I've got some depression going here. It's like, there was a game seven. There was a game seven. Oh, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I guess just like before we get into this series, like just I think we want to air a little bit of our frustration. Like, I just wanted to get your take on this. Like, for each of you, like, was there one thing that you think you can point to, like at least one, maybe probably like a handful of things that you can point to that really frustrated you about this series that like you think the Rockets could have changed to maybe give us a fighting chance, or was like what's one thing that you can each point to?
Or Max, did you want to go first, or like what? Like a.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'll listen to your take, and so we don't say the exact same thing.
Or the thing that I was going to bring up isn't necessarily one thing that'll change, but like because I wanted to bring up the fact that because our final record was 41-41,
mm-hmm.
which I looked this up like a couple weeks ago, and like I want to say it's like our worst like finish since like what was it? A couple years ago we finished like 42-40, and that was like the year we traded for Kevin Martin, and you know, and
for Kevin Martin or traded?
No,
him away?
Yeah, traded for Kevin Martin because like that, gotcha. Like McGrady was injured, and then we traded him for Kevin Martin, and then I want to say Ariza was somehow on that team as well. Or we signed him as a free agent five years ago, and he was like you know one of the leading scorers, and you know what was it? Aaron Brooks, and then I think Scola was still on the team at the time, but it was like that team was like. A 42, you know, win team, but like no, like
wow.
a team like with James Harden playing all the games, and like you know, probably a better Trevor Ariza and like Dwight Howard, like that only won you know 41, and like and the Western Conference was like you know comparatively weaker, compared to back then.
Well, maybe from the top down they were comparatively weaker, you know, but we have two historically great. Games this year in the West.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
But I mean, you only play what 5 games total, 6 games against those guys this year. So I mean, it's not like it's obviously not going to account for all of that.
And we still got swept by the Nets and the Nuggets. So.
Oh God! Don't even bring that up. Never say that again, Jeff.
I guess to continue the point though, like so there was that season, but then if you go even further back, like the worst season that we had, other than this year was like. I forget, like, what I want to say it was like the 2006 season or something. It was that year where like everyone was injured, like during the Yama McGrady era, where like, you know, McGrady missed half the year, Yama missed half the year, and it was like, I remember like, I want to say that was the year we drafted Luther Head, like with like the 24th pick or whatever it was, And then I want to say Chuck Hayes, that was his first year as well. Like, he was like an undrafted, you know, guy that, and just because we needed guys, you know, yeah, because it wasn't just McGrady and Yale. Like, you know, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the role players even, you know, missed key time. And like to the point where we were playing guys like Ryan Bowen, like, I don't know if it, you know.
Wow, it's like, does that yeah, mean, that's a name I haven't heard like, in a long time.
That, yeah, for those that have been fans, you know, Ryan Bowen reference. He, I mean, I don't even know how to explain Ryan Bowen. It's just like he's like a hustle guy. Is there like someone like a someone we can compare him to? Like,
not on this team. There are no hustle guys on this team, Jeff.
I guess not. Yeah, not on this team. But like, just, yeah. I want to say he just had like no offense, and then, you know, I mean, he was like a,
he so was, he is like the guys on this team.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't like a great defender either, but like I guess he just like, you know, he just kind of like,
he sounds like he would fit right in. Energy. But, no yeah, offense, no defense.
But
oh gosh,
yeah, and that team won like, you know, 36 or, you know, like in the mid 30s, like in terms of games. Like, I don't remember the exact number, but I'm saying like that team was like, you know. No, like McGrady for half a year, Yale for only half a year, and then like the role players were like, you know, that was still able to, you know, to get like, you know, in the mid 30s, and then, you know, anyway, so that's kind of, that's like my rant.
Yeah, so I've got a couple things. The first is that, yeah, Jeff, what Jeff said is true. I mean, we're like a criminally underperforming team, but my second thing is maybe we're not a criminally underperforming team. Maybe the team that we saw last year, at the end of last year, that had their really, really highs and their really, really lows, is just the team that we were, and we all just overhyped this team from the beginning. Maybe we were never as good as we thought we were supposed to be. Maybe we had a miracle happen in the first round against the Clippers, and maybe we just, you know... Or no, second round against the Clippers, I'm sorry, last year. And maybe we just all really, really, really thought we were way better than we actually were in a convoluted Western Conference last year where we somehow miraculously got the second seed on, you know, on the final day of the season. It was, I think we potentially could have gotten the sixth seed, and we ended up with the first or the second seed because San Antonio actually rested their guys on the last day of the season. So... And part of it is us as the fans' fault, in my opinion, that we hyped our team so much. A lot of it obviously falls on the players and coaches and management, that, you know, this team just didn't have it night in and night out. They were, you would think, I mean, the whole first half of the season, we're just saying, you know, oh, well, they'll turn it on. They'll turn it on and they'll try hard. And, oh, well, James was out of shape in the off season, but he'll eventually get into shape and, you know, this team will get going. And I think, like I said, I think a lot of it was we really, really hyped ourselves up too much, and we overestimated how good this team was. And then we didn't account for, obviously, because I guess nobody could account for how much better the Spurs and how much better the Warriors got. So that offset us not getting any better at all. I mean, we took a flyer on Ty Lawson. That's really all we did going into this to improve, change the team at all. From a team that, you know, like I said, we could have been a six seed last year. We were, you know, a tiebreaker away from being a six seed. So it's not like we were some juggernaut that everybody, you know, kind of made us out to be. Before the season. And so I think a lot of it is way too high expectations, but at the same time, the players failed to live up to even the lowest of expectations that anyone could have had for this year.
Yeah. I mean that, like I've heard people say basically what you said, where it's like, oh, you know, oh, maybe the last team's team was like, you know, like a fraud or something, which like, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I do think that there's kind of like a middle ground where like, okay, maybe we weren't like the 56 win team, you know, with, you know, the awesome defense, but I mean, I do think like a big, I mean, basically the difference was the defense, you know, where we were like sixth last year. And then like, I want to say we ended up in 19th, which kind of like, if I remember correctly, like for the majority of the year, we were kind of like, you know, in the like past 20 in defense. So, I mean, I guess that kind of speaks to the fact that we kind of like, we got like a little bit better towards the end of the year. So, I mean, I guess like, if you know, like momentum, you know, and all that, but I mean, I think that was if I had to choose like one thing, okay, maybe it was the defense, you know, so that, you know, So that's kind of why I don't think that like last year was necessarily fraud. It's just, you know,
I think the last year was as strange as this season was. Last year was just as strange. Like as you said, like the Clippers series was kind of a miraculous comeback for the Rockets. But in that, like people forget, in that first round we had the Mavs and they had a slow Tyson Chandler as their center and a dysfunctional Rondo who didn't really play well at all for them. So it wasn't like that series against the Mavs was like a challenge for us. So. Like
yeah, a lot of people think. I mean, Rondo made that team worse. Honestly, they were better off with before they got him.
Yeah, definitely. And like, yeah, we got. I think we only lost one game against the Mavs in that first series, and then
I think that's right. Yeah, and then it was either like five or six games.
Yeah, definitely. Like, but yeah, it's definitely like we handled them in the first couple games, and then I think we like gave a couple away. But yeah, like we got that series, and then obviously the miracle is the Clippers. But then, during the regular season, everything seemed to like we had our troubles, but it seemed to go the other way into the positive for us. Because I think like we didn't have Dwight for like half the season last year, and James Harden was able to lead the team to 56 wins, whereas in this season we had Dwight for the whole season more or less, and we had 15 less wins. And I don't know, everything just seemed to break wrong for us this season in terms of like whether it be personnel or just like the effort, which is what everyone points to. So I don't know if this team was overhyped, but we definitely didn't play to our potential.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be like by far the most disappointing, you know, Rockets season. I mean, that
Think, Jazz, you said it was a miracle against the Clippers last year. What were the Clippers, the 5 seed last year? And we had a miracle. The 3 seed?
Yeah, because they...
Yeah, you're right.
But
you're
I mean,
right.
They were a part
but,
of that.
But yeah, like I said, it was part of that amalgamation of it could have been the second seed, it could have been the 6th seed.
Yeah.
So it literally took a miracle to beat that team. I mean, like I said, I mean, it wasn't that we were, you know, obviously the second best team in the West, because we very obviously... We're right there with a bunch of other teams, but I mean, we were head and shoulders below the Warriors of last year, and I think it was apparent all year. Even if you had no idea what the Rockets did all season, and you watched the Warriors this season compared to last season, you would say, wow, if the Rockets didn't get, you know, insanely better, they will have no chance against a team like this. And so, like I said, we didn't do a lot to get better this off season. We took a flyer on Lawson, and really that's it. And I mean that'll kill you.
Which that's actually kind of crazy, because like I guess this is kind of going off topic, but like it's related, because like Daryl Morey like has been known as the guy that's like always trading with people, and I want to say this year is one of like I think the one of the few years where he's kept most of the roster intact, hasn't made any, like, because remember, like, you know, 2 years ago, you know, he let Jeremy Lin go in free agency, you know, let, you know, Parsons go in free agency, and then, you know, signed Ariza. So, you know, I mean, really, yeah, like you said, the only thing we really did was, you know, signing Lawson. So it's kind of weird that the time that we kept most of our guys together, you know, that was like the year that we, like, were the most disappointing. But, you know, all these other years where we, like, overturned our team, you know, crazy. You know, and like got rid of guys that were, you know, like Parsons and Lin, you know, we were able to, win 56 games, you know, the next year. So it's kind of weird how, I guess that works out, I suppose.
Sometimes change is good. I mean, sometimes change is good just for the sake of change. And obviously this team needs it at this point. I don't know if anybody could have predicted how dysfunctional they would be this year. It's just so weird that I mean, we go back to it. It started earlier in the season when we fired...
McHale,
yeah. Sorry. I mean, we were a dysfunctional team, and that was a case of change not being good just for the sake of change. And it was just painfully apparent that JB also never had a grasp on this locker room. And yet they fired McHale for it, and then there was nothing in the way of any kind of change that we could see. You know, to JB or his coaching style or anything like that, you would have thought that something would have been done at some point in the season. Do something. I mean, maybe a call down from Maury to say, look, you need to change the lineup up. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but I mean, JB had that famous, or I don't know how famous it is, that press conference where he said, you know, guys need to start putting in hard work, and I'm going to start playing the guys that work hard, and the, you know, the attitudes where they're not going to play hard every night. Those kind of guys are going to sit. And then nobody's minutes changed at all. The entire season, the whole season, everybody played the same minutes the whole year, except for, I guess, the exception being Ty Lawson and Michael Beasley, who obviously were not on the team the whole year. But everybody that was there the whole year, they played the same role, the same minutes. Nobody got a chance, like JB said. Nope. You know, it's like your mom when she tells you, you know, stop playing with that toy or, you know, in the house, or she's going to ground you. And she never grounds you. It's like the kids are going to be dysfunctional if you don't do anything to fix the dysfunction, and you just threaten them and never do anything. All he had to do was bench frickin' James Harden for 2 games and shit would have got changed. And even if it didn't, it would have been better than doing nothing. And that's what he did all year. And that's why it's so weird that they fired McHale for allegedly not having control of the locker room, and then they put JB in, and JB
definitely.
He just all talk. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy was giving him so much props this postseason, you know, talking about how what a good job he's done in the face of adversity and taking over, you know, during the season isn't easy to do. I get that, but show me one coaching decision that JB made all year to do anything positive for this team and did it consistently. I can't think of one, and if you guys can think of one, I'll give you $20. I'll ship it over to Australia, or I'll come to your house, Jeff, and give you $20. If you guys can name one coaching decision that he did and worked out. Well, stuck with anything.
Yeah, the key is, you know, and worked out, because, like, I mean, I know, like, the lineup, like, what was it? We've had, like, so many different power forwards, like, you know, that's one thing I remember hearing about, but yeah, I mean, it didn't work out. So, I mean, that's kind of the why that doesn't work. Like that doesn't work for your question.
Yeah, I could probably name like 3 or 4 stupid decisions that really affected this, season, but like, I can't really think of one on the top of my head that really was positive. Like, it wasn't like I don't want to say he's a bad coach, because obviously it is a pretty tough situation to be in, but like, I don't think this is really the roster for him to get his head coach career started on. Like, this wasn't a good situation for him, and there wasn't really anything that really changed from the McHale regime to the Bickerstaff regime.
Yeah, absolutely nothing changed.
It was basically just like, I know what McHale did, so I'm just going to do that, and hopefully I can get to these guys in a way that he couldn't. But really, it just seemed like nothing really changed at all.
Yeah, Kevin McHale should not have been fired.
Yeah,
hindsight's 2020, but well, it's not even that hindsight's 2020. I don't know if anyone was. Nobody was calling for his head. Nobody thought he should be fired. I mean, he just took to the freaking Rockets to the Western Conference Finals, something that hadn't been done in like 20 years. I mean,
yeah, sounds about right.
I mean, like, I can kind of see where they were coming from. Like, we did have like 3 or 4 like 20-point losses at the start of the season. But I remember on this podcast, like we were all saying, like, when the rumors started swirling, that we didn't want him to get fired, because, like, what was it, like 7 games in he got fired? Like, come on, like, you got to give him a little more of a chance than that.
Yeah. I think I remember saying, like, no, there's no way he's getting fired. And then it's like,
literally like hours after you said that.
Oh, fire. Yeah, it was like later that day. It's like, oh, they fired. And I'm like, seriously? You're going to do that?
Yeah, we had that string of shows where we just kept making prophetic statements.
It's one of those decisions that Daryl Morey, probably 3 weeks after that, was like, shit, what have I done? You can't just call a guy back and give him his job back. It doesn't work like that.
It's like, nah, I was just kidding. Come on, come back, Kevin.
I mean, I almost feel like they should have like started the like coaching search early. Because, I mean, like, Bickerstaff was just, he's like too like young of a coach to be able to take this, you know, job and do anything, you know, serious with it. So that's kind of the only, you know, thing that I would really, you know, I have beef with, you know, Morey this year is, you know, I almost feel like, you know, he could have made a coaching decision, you know, I mean, obviously he fired Mikel, but then, like, you know, hire a new coach, like, midway through, you know, once he sees that, you know, we're not making immediate, you know, comeback, you know, be like, okay, well, you know, let's, you know, let's try and, you know, hire, like, a real coach and, like, you know, at the very least, you know, it'll build chemistry this season for, you know, if we're, like, punching this season, apparently. But, I don't know. Again, like, hindsight's 2020 and all that, so.
You don't punt 7 games in.
Oh,
that's,
man.
Like, punting on second down in the NFL. Like, well, we'll probably not get that first down, so let's just punt it.
I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, sorry, Jazz.
Oh, yeah, that's like a football thing. Okay. Or the.
I think I got, like, a little bit of that, but I was like, sure.
So it's like in soccer when something happens. Actually, I have no idea what happens in soccer.
It's like you give up on, like, what's going on. Is that help, like punting something that, like,
this
is that
is
like
a... This is a really terrible tangent we've gone on.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
Everyone has turned... Anyone listening has turned off at this point. So we can just, you know, talk about whatever we want at this point.
So, he, like, TV is good.
Oh,
man. Oh,
wow, well, that like, was good.
I guess it's, like, getting back on track. Like, if I'm going to, like, point to any one thing about, like, this season that was kind of a bit of a disappointment for me, like you brought up Daryl Morey. Like, I think he's done a good job, like, a decent job so far. But, like, one thing that was kind of annoyed me is, like, it was even from, like, the change from Mikhail to Biggerstaff, like, his whole, like, quote-unquote Morey ball, where he's, like, threes and layups, like, that was still a big thing this season, and, like, that's kind of something that I've wanted him to kind of, like, let the reins a little looser on. Like, you kind of saw it towards the end of the season where people were taking long twos, like, especially from Michael Beasley and even James Harden to an extent. But, like, that's something that's... It's just, like, when you have a team of terrible three-point shooters like Brewer and especially in the playoffs with Ariza, like, it's not going to work. Like, you can't have that kind of system going when you have guys that aren't great three-point shooters. And, like, I just wish this, especially in this next season, like, I really hope that he lets that go a little bit and maybe let the coach decide what the offense should be.
I actually don't mind the like threes and layups, but like the key is you have to get, because I mean I want
to
say we're like
you have to have guys that can make threes.
Well, no,
definitely.
Well, no, I mean, well, yeah, that too, but I guess like you have to make enough layups to make that worth it too, because like you can't, because I mean really what the threes are replacing are long twos. So, I mean, like, from that perspective, but, I mean, if you're just taking threes and then no layups and then, you know, mid-range shots as well, then, like, that's obviously bad. So, I mean, the key to the whole, like, threes and layups is that you have to get the layups, you know?
Well, I guess for me, like, the thing I point to with, how it's not effective for this team, especially, is, like when you look at the Warriors, like, people say that they're, like, just a three-point shooting team, but they have a few players that, like, that aren't great three-point shooters and don't take three-point shots. Like, Livingston, I don't think attempted even one three-point shot during that series because they know that he doesn't make them. And he was doing, like, the post-up fade shots or long twos. And I think, like, maybe even Iguodala had he only had a handful of threes. Whereas, like, then that's kind of what I mean. Like, when you have a guy like Corey Brewer who's awful, he's an awful three-point shooter. And I think he's, for the season, he's, like, under 20%, which is historically bad. Like, we saw throughout the season, like, whenever he took a pull-up long two, like, he made those pretty regularly. But, like, they just kept insisting that he take three-point shots, where, like, that's what I mean. Like, you don't have to completely stray away from it, but let's, like, recognize, like, what your player's strengths are. And, like, if he's not a good three-point shooter, then tell him don't take those shots and take closer shots to the basket. Like, that's really what I mean. Just, like, recognize what your personnel can do.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with that. Well, and I mean, also, like, I think it was mentioned just a while ago that the Rockets, like, as a group, they're not, like, they don't have, like, a lot of, you know, awesome three-point shooters. Like, what is it? Beverly is, like, he's shooting around 40%, and I think Harden maybe is, like, 35, 30, you know, 7% or something. And I mean, Ariza might be around 35%, but then outside of those guys, it's like, you know, we don't have any, like, we don't have like a second guy that, you know, shoots around 40%. Whereas, like, again, like, look at teams like the Warriors, and it's like they have like three guys that are like at 40%, and it's like, you know, what's going on? Like, what? But, so I mean, I think that's kind of almost part of it. Like, which I don't know if we were going to talk about free agency, you know, at some point. Like, that's almost why, who's the guy from the Pelicans? Anderson. I'm trying to remember what his first name is.
Ryan
Anderson. I don't remember. I don't know if he had like a down year or like what his. Or no, I think he had like a solid year. Like I don't have like the stats in front of me, but like I know he's like a solid 3-point shooter. And someone like that, you know, it doesn't have to be him, but just like, you know, that'd be like an interesting, you know. Like, way to improve our offense, you know, at least.
Yeah, they're definitely...
Well, it couldn't make it any worse.
That's the big thing. Like, get anybody. Just get anybody you can get. well, that was a good old rant from us for the series. That was hopefully a little bit cathartic for us, and hopefully the Rockets fans that listen to the podcast. But now for some sadness. I guess we can just move straight into the games. I think we discussed earlier on the show that we probably don't want to do too much on these games. We probably just want to kind of just graze over them because like it's basically game four destruction, game four worst destruction. So I guess game four we did lose 121-94. This game was weird, like. The first half, I slept through, just letting all my cards on the table. So I didn't see the first half where it was good basketball, and I woke up to watch the second half, and I saw terrible basketball. So there was that. Golden State shot 51% from the field, and we shot 42%. And the 3-point shooting was just abysmal. Like DSW shot 52%, 21-40, and Houston shot 18%, 5-27. So I guess, like, I want to get you guys' thoughts. You guys were able to watch the good half of basketball. So, like, was there anything that you could point out that we did well? Or was it just the fact that Curry wasn't playing that made us, like, a little bit competitive in that first half?
Man, you know, I can't even think of, like... I mean, I remember that we were tied at the half, and then the Warriors went on to, like, set, like, a... Was it an NBA record or franchise record for three-pointers in a game? I don't know...
I think it's an NBA playoff record.
Or yeah, playoffs. Yeah,
yes, it was.
But yeah. So I mean, that happened.
Yeah.
But right. I don't remember like anything specific where it's like, oh yeah, like we're, you know, like we're doing this well, and you know, honestly, because didn't Curry try to come back during that game? I mean, that might have been like, in a weird way, part of the reason why we were actually tied at the half, because. Like, he tried to come back, and I want to say he was, like, 2-for-9 from the field or something, and then he, like, did he re-injure? Oh, it was, like, a knee thing, I want to say. It was, like, a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He, like, slid on the demo sweat patch and, like, and did his knee or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then it's, like, the second half, you know, they're playing out of their mind, you know, which I guess you could say, like, oh, well, Curry, you know, wasn't rusty, I mean, he was out for the second half, but, like, they didn't have to, like, you know, like, carry him, you know, for lack of a better phrase. yeah, I don't know. But that's all I remember.
yeah, like, wasn't there also, like, a... Like, wasn't the only reason that it was tied at the half because James Harden hit a buzzer beater?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's part... Well, I mean, we played out of our minds that first half. Honestly... If you would not have looked at the score, you would have thought, wow, the Rockets played as good as they've ever played this year.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, game four, right? Honestly, yeah. I was watching that game, and I think I even texted you guys. I was like, this is the team we have been waiting for since day one. This is the team that can do it. And it was weird. And then they were only tied. That's how good the Warriors are, first off. So let's give the Warriors their dap. But that Rockets team could beat anybody on anybody night for that first half. And then we saw what happened in the second half. As we just talked about all year, this is what they do. They build you up. They got me so excited. Even after all the shit of this year, They still found a way to get me really excited because, you know, oh, Curry's down and we've got a game on him already. And it's tied and we're playing really well. And Curry might not be back for 3 weeks. I'm getting all hyped up and I'm just – and then we just shit the bed. Just completely shit the bed. Just the only way – only the Rockets know how to do exactly what they did. It was just – oh, my God. It was –
That explains it.
That's the worst. It's the just like you said, Jazz. It's so bad that we all knew what was going to happen, and yet we still got emotionally invested, and we still let them let us down.
Plus, so terrible. We're coming off that awesome game three. Curry didn't play in that game. It got pretty. I think we led for basically the entire game except for that last little bit, and we won that game, and that was. Like, I know I was going crazy. I don't know about you guys, but then, and then we come off that emotional high, and then you see this game, and especially for me, where I only caught that second half, and that was, the lowest of lows, and I'm just come on, man. Give me some consistency, please. especially in that second half, I think the thing that was demoralizing for me, and probably the Rockets as well, as a team, there was that series of I think 5 minutes after the third half started. Just let me control my thoughts. I would go crazy, but I think it was Draymond hit three threes in a row, and I'm just what the hell? Draymond just hits three pull up crazy threes, and that just sucked all the energy out of the building, and it just seemed like the Rockets weren't able to recover from that.
Speaking of Draymond Green, is he not the simultaneously worst and best basketball player, as an opposing fan? You're just man, that guy can do so much, and then you just hate his guts because he's such a dirty, scrappy player. So you simultaneously both hate him and want him on your team at the same time.
Yeah, I know when I started watching basketball, he was the guy that I pointed to. I was I hate watching this. I hate watching this guy play because he's so he goes so crazy and it's just kind of over the top. But then you look at what he can do, and he's just if Curry wasn't on this team, he would be the best player on that team, and he would definitely have to get some MVP votes. He's overlooked.
Yeah, 2 years ago when Patrick Beverley was healthy, that's how Patrick Beverley was to other fans from other markets. They were just God, that guy is so scrappy and plays defense so well, and he can hit threes. I hate him because he's such an a-hole, and he ticks off our star every night, whoever it is. But at the same time, that's the kind of guy you want on your team,
Yeah, you saw it in that first game where he got under Curry's skin, and I was this is what I want, this is what I want. I wanted to,
One last thing I want to talk about the series, and I guess we can talk about, free agency or coaching rumors or whatever. I know we said it a lot, but even in that second half in game four, right after that first half where, you would think that the Rockets would get extremely emotionally invested and, fight for loose balls, et cetera, because that was, the high point of their season at that point. And, Curry's down. Like I said, it was a high point emotionally for me. And then they came out and it just seemed like the Warriors wanted everything so much more. Every rebound, it was like they were going up and fighting for it. And, there were a lot of bad calls, a lot of missed calls. They played us pretty dirty, honestly. But at the same time, they put so much effort into every little rebound. And our guys still just couldn't, with a chance to pull off one of the most monumental upsets in history, they couldn't muster the willpower and the strength and the try to even go out and put up a showing. And so it was embarrassing to be a Rockets fan, honestly.
Yeah, also upset for the people in attendance as well, because especially when you're coming out of that halftime, the fans in the arena, they were going nuts. They were the loudest I've probably heard them all season, and it's just so... so upsetting, for them to get that invested and then have see what they saw in the second half. The Rockets should have tried a little bit harder. It's hard to say that as a person just watching these games, but there was no effort in that second half, and it just points to I think James and Dwight, like, of their 18 and 19 points that they each scored, like, they only scored 5 points in the second half each. And that was just kind of a telling sign of, like, how bad the offense was in that second half.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like, so, crickets.
It's just personal reflection and sadness.
This is what we call the game recap. This green game recap segment is like the game, like, sadness recap. So just, like, bear with us for this, and then we'll get to a little bit of positive or at least more energetic talk after this game.
Can we all, like, take a moment of silence? I guess we just did for the 2015-2016 season, and just, like, let's just put it to bed, put it to rest, and never talk about it again and act like it never happened. Can we agree to do that?
I mean, I guess we can. Do you guys just want to, like, skip past this game five?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Nothing to say about it that we didn't say about the second half of game four, honestly.
Yeah, basically, like,
we're being, like, such downers right now, too. Like I said, I mean, we've just completely shat on the hearts of all Rockets fans more than, if not the same amount that the Rockets did themselves. So,
I mean, yeah, if we're losing by, like, 20, 30 points, that's being down. I mean, come on. Like, we're allowed to
yeah,
be mad.
No, that's true. That's true.
It's like, that's, like, a legitimate, I don't know.
Yeah, like, we lost game five, 114 to 81, and I think, I did have all the stats written out, but, like, it's not really. It's basically just, like, crap. So, like, I'm perfectly fine with just, like, skipping over this, and I don't think any Rockets fans will be disappointed in that fact.
It's like, yeah, I guess that's the... Or wait, so the next, like, were we going to move on to, like, free agency or coaching, or, like, I don't know, like, what all people
want to talk about? I guess, like, the next thing I had that I wanted to talk about was, if we do want to look ahead to offseason, before we talk about any, like, if we talk about any players in particular, like, we all know this has been a crap fest. Like, did you guys have any one thing that you think if we want to make it the same competitive again, like, what's one thing that we can do in the offseason to, like, make a marketable improvement, like, coming into the season?
Kevin Durant.
Realistic.
Let's just get let's get the hype train started early, boys.
Oh, man, future. Oh, no, I can do that again.
I mean, I would say there's a non-zero % chance of getting Kevin Durant in Rockets colors next year. I don't necessarily think it's very high percentage, but I wouldn't say, if I got frozen today in a cryogenic chamber and woke up a year from now, the Rockets alongside Kevin Durant and James Harden and some rookie yet to be named from Lithuania that's had, you know, the most amazing rookie season of anyone of all time, and I woke up next year and we were, you know, in the Western Conference Finals, I wouldn't think that I had transported into an alternate dimension, but I would be very surprised.
There are so many variables involved that, like, I'm just flabbergasted.
Well, okay. Jazz, I mean, if there are infinite universes, then there is a universe in which that happens.
I can't say that's an incorrect statement.
Possible.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase
hashtag
that
believe. Sorry.
Let me rephrase the question then. Realistically, is there one thing that you guys can point to that we can change to, or, like, add to this team to make it a better team next year?
I mean, if it was, like, let's see, if it was, like, one change, I mean, it'd probably have to be the coach, just because, and I mean, which, I mean, this might be trampling on the coaching talk, but it's, like, again, like, the defense, you know, has been, like, you know, or offensively, I mean, we weren't great, but we were, like, you know, I want to say, like, around 10th or 11th or something, but, like, defensively, just, like, the bottom of the league most of the year, and then, like, kind of, like, got a little bit better towards the end of the year, you know, but, I mean, yeah, like, a defensive coach, you know, and I mean, we'll probably talk more about, like, who potentially that could be, but, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a defensive coach, but just, like, someone that'll, like, because, I mean, even, like, the bad defensive coaches could have gotten better than, like, the 20th or 19th, you know, defense in the league. I mean, we have like defensive talent on this team, you know, so it's like it's definitely like an effort, and I mean, as we saw last year with basically the same roster, you know, and we got sixth, and again, it's not like Mikhail is like a defensive coach, so I mean that, you know, we don't need a defensive mastermind to get like good defense out of this team.
Well, it does seem like coach, like we do want to really get into coaching, so we can probably talk into that now. Like, just off the top of my head, there are a couple of coaches that are on the market right now. Like, if you want to just like name anyone that you guys think of, like off the top of my head, there's like David Blatt's out there. I've heard rumors that Patrick Ewing might be getting some coaching interviews. Who else? Jeff Ngundy, obviously. We know Luke Walton's off the market. Not that anyone really was clamoring for that.
Yeah, it's like, the Lakers, you know, got rid of, like, you know, bought that bullet.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one was Frank Vogel from the Indiana Pacers hasn't gotten an extension. Sorry for my cough. I just not really feeling well. But, yeah, like, he's another defensive-minded coach that might be able to be brought in. Sorry about that. Were any of those names like interesting to you guys, or was there any other names that I didn't mention that might be targets for us?
I think the name that obviously stands out to everybody is going to be Jeff Van Gundy. He was the coach here before, and I believe his contract ran out and that he just didn't get re-signed, which is, I mean, it's the same as firing your coach. I mean, in the world of professional sports, if you don't re-up somebody's contract, it's the same thing as firing them.
From what I remember about the whole Jeff Van Gundy thing, like what happened was, because I mean, I think there was a question about it was kind of like similar to the Kevin McHale, like, were we going to fire him, you know, that whole discussion. I mean, it was because, you know, they came off of that, you know, another first round loss to the Jazz, what was it? Well, yeah, and his contract was running out, and he was kind of like, well, I want to take, you know, I don't know if I want to, you know, coach right now. Like, I might want to take a break and reconsider my options and see if I even want to, you know, coach in the NBA this year. But yeah. And then, like, meanwhile, I think, you know, was Maury the GM at the time? Les Alexander or whoever, like, they, you know, they got in touch with, you know, Rick Adelman and then basically hired him before Van Gundy, you know, could make a decision.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think it was kind of a Maury thing. I think the history between Maury and Van Gundy kind of goes back a ways. People have been talking about potentially if Van Gundy wants to come back, that Maury would have to go. I doubt very heavily that would be the case. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. I believe that Maury has a lot of goodwill built up with this organization, and for good reason. Obviously, there's criticisms you can weigh against Daryl Maury, and you know, some more apt than others. But yeah, I think, you know, Van Gundy is a potential coach. I think he did actually open up and say if he's coming back to the NBA to coach, he would want to be in Houston. He lives in Houston. This is where his family is at. This is, you know, this would be his last hurrah in the NBA if he wanted to make a go of it. I think he could be a great coach. I think he has a lot of respect around the league, especially after his gig as a broadcaster. I think he's widely respected as one of the most knowledgeable broadcasters. It's kind of akin to, I just blanked on the name. Golden State's coach did the same thing.
Steve Kerr.
Yeah, obviously. Steve Kerr was, you know, was a great announcer. Everybody loved him. And then he kind of made the leap to coach. It's a little bit different because Jeff Van Gundy had that experience beforehand. And Steve Kerr was kind of an unknown quality as a coach, but everybody knew his game knowledge was there. Everybody knew that he was very knowledgeable and could potentially be a coach. So he's obviously shown that he can do that regardless of what you think of his team. He's been a great outstanding coach. So Van Gundy has that built up, has that name. He has the instant respect. I think he would be a very good coach. I'm not sure if he's the best option for this team, but I think we could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, the one
JB Bickerstaff.
I was gonna say the one thing that that would kind of worry me about Jeff Van Gundy being the coach is just the fact that he doesn't do the run and gun style. So I mean, he's more of a grinded out defensive, you know, minded coach. So I mean. And I mean, I would imagine if they choose Van Gundy as a coach, they're not going to try and change him away from that because that's kind of like his strength. I mean, again, like I mentioned, you know, before, like you know, or that team that, you know, where like McGrady now missed half the year and like, no, you know, that was like that was still like a five or like six, you know, a defensive team or something. Although I think the offense was like, you know, the worst in the league that year. But I mean that, you know, every year that he was a coach, he had like a top five defense, you know, so that was, you know, and like, you know, I mean, I remember like Battier was like one of the defensive guys, but like he didn't come on until later. I'm trying to think of like other defensive guys on that like stretch of, you know, 4 or 5 years that Van Gundy was a coach.
I mean, Chuck Hayes was widely regarded as like an extreme overachiever under Van Gundy.
And again, like I think he was like another one of those guys that kind of that came along, you know, because I want to say his rookie year was like the year that like everyone got injured. So like, but Mutombo was like the backup center. The backup center was like probably our best defender. And then like now I'm trying to remember who were like rotation. Like I know Juwan Howard was like on there, and then I don't know. I'm blanking on a lot of the. I can't remember who we had at shooting guard. Like I know it was like David Wesley once, and then, but he wasn't. Anyways, but I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a Trevor Ariza or Pat Beverly. So I mean, you know, he would definitely. I mean, the offense probably, like if Van Gundy was the coach next year, the defense would probably. I would predict that the defense would be like a top five defense, but then like the offense would be question. You know, that's the worry is, you know, we would definitely, you know, probably rely on the, you know, James Harden isolation, you know, even more.
Yeah, I mean, like, what could you do differently with this team if you don't change the pieces around it? I mean, just give the ball to James Harden every position. Like, I don't think he would do. I mean, if he changed it, it could probably, you couldn't change it for the worse, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's much worse.
I mean, the offense maybe wouldn't even get worse. It just, I guess you lose out on the points that you got from like the fast paced, you know, up and down game, but like. But again, going from like the 20th defense to like the 5th defense, that's, you can be like the 15th, you know, offense in the league, and then, you know, still win like 50 something games. And I mean, we wouldn't be like an elite team, but I mean, definitely, you know, get closer to like what we were, you know, a year ago. So I mean, that would be my goal, like, personally. I mean,
like when we're talking about Jeff Van Gundy, like if you like, I personally have never like had the pleasure of watching him like coach a game, but like if he's like the defensive coach that you guys say he is, and like then if he can get the defense to, as you like, maybe be top 10 in the league, which would be a marketable improvement, like the offense I don't think is that much of an issue. Like the offense right now, like yeah, you don't have like the sexy like ball movement that like Golden State has or the Spurs have, but like James Harden gets his teammates plenty of open looks. Like, he gets them tons and tons of open looks. So, like, if you can run a similar offense to this year, like, obviously it depends a lot on Harden isolations, but there are times where Beverly, like, is the one that initiates the offense in terms of, like, getting the ball moving. So, like, if you can get a similar offense as we had this year and maybe change a few pieces where we can actually get shooters, like decent shooters instead of, like, subpar shooters, then, like, I wouldn't see the problem in like Jeff Van Gundy like sticking to being like making sure these guys play defense, and then maybe hiring a assistant coach to show them like different, maybe a little bit different offense. But if they had a similar offense to this year, I wouldn't be too displeased, as long as they change some of the pieces, like you said, Max.
Yeah, I think what you said is very correct. I mean, you got a lot of guys, a lot of open looks. I mean, it wasn't like Corey Brewer was going 0 for 26, you know, shooting contested threes. He was shooting wide open threes with nobody near him and continually missing them. So, I mean, yeah, there's that point where it's like, if you just had better players, this offense would have looked so much better.
Like, you don't even need dead eye 3-point shooters. You just need, like, not Corey Brewer. Well, Kat, hello. If we're talking about other head coaches, like a wild card that I thought of, like, is kind of like not really, it's more of like the Houston connection that kind of brings me to this guy. Like, what do you guys think of maybe Kenny Smith, like, throwing his hat into the ring of a head coaching job? Like, I don't know too much about, like, him as a person, but, like, obviously we know that he's got a long history with Houston. And when you see him like, analyzing games on Inside the NBA on TNT, like, he's a pretty intelligent guy when it comes to like pointing out like flaws in defense and like what's good in people's offenses. So, like, would that kind of be, if maybe you heard some rumors about him being interviewed for the head coaching job? I don't even know if he wants it, like, if he wants to get off that the analyst role. But, like, would that be something you guys would kind of be interested in exploring?
Yes, I think right away, yes. I mean, he's another guy that has a lot of respect around the league for his being an analyst. He's a beloved guy here in Houston, for obvious reasons. He was, you know, a key part of some of the best teams in our history. I don't know if that's anything he's even considering. I haven't heard any rumors. Have you heard any rumors of that potential? Okay, yeah, just kind of a thought you had. I mean,
yeah,
it's a great thought. You need to be emailing Daryl Morey right now and say, yo, check this guy out. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, obviously. I think it's, you know, I would be very excited for something like that.
Cool. Well, so then, let's get him a contract.
Well, no, and then you mentioned the Pacers coach, like Vogel. Like, I mean, I guess that might be the other guy that, like, I wouldn't mind having as a coach other than Van Gundy. Because I guess going back to the Kenny Smith thing that we talked about. I mean, I'm not like against Kenny Smith being the coach. I think it's just like, you know, if I had to choose between someone with head coaching experience versus like a guy that doesn't have head coaching experience yet, you know. That, you know, I'd rather choose like someone like Van Gundy or Vogel, but like, you know, Kenny Smith, you know, I could see him being I mean, obviously, you know, between like, you know, Steve Kerr and Jason Kidd, like we've seen guys that like, you know, that basically all they had, they were basically players at one time. And then, you know, they just, you know, they eventually become coach and then like, you know, immediately do well, you know. So, I mean, it's not like it would be out of the ordinary for, you know, Kenny Smith to be good on this team, but. I don't know. Maybe that's just it's one of those things. Like, it wouldn't be that bad, I guess. I wouldn't be like disappointed if something like that were to happen. But I guess like my top two choices, you know, right now, like Vogel, assuming, you know, this whole Indiana, like if he's not getting an extension, then that's like an option. But those are kind of my top two guys right now.
Well, I guess another thing that I kind of wanted to get your guys' take on it, because like it's not like as I said, I don't really have too much experience watching Kenny play. But like when it comes to those 97 teams, was it, or 95, 96? I'm not. Were those the championship years for the Houston?
I want to say it was like 94, 95 was one of the years, and then it was either 93, 94, or 95, 96. I forget like which one.
Yeah, well, like and I guess my main question was like, obviously your leader was Hakeem Olajuwon, but like. Was Kenny kind of like their secondary leader on that team? Like, was he like a guy that they pointed to as like a locker room leader?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I mean, because I was like 7 at the time, so that's kind of like slightly. Because
honestly, well, it's hard to say that the two teams were honestly markedly different when you talk about how they were in the locker room and stuff like that. The first team, I would say that Olajuwon was a big leader, but also Vernon Maxwell was one of the big emotional leaders of that team. Kenny Smith, just by the nature of the position he plays is something that you always think of as kind of like a leader. The second team, we kind of, you know, before we picked up Clyde Drexler, we were a team in dire straits. We kind of looked like the Rockets of this year. In the first half, you know, played well, but also had the potential to play really bad. And then they picked up Drexler, and he kind of came in, and he became a leader that season. So I don't know if he's, you know, if Kenny Smith is thought of as, like, you know, a great leader, but he definitely was a part of, like I said, two of the best teams of Houston history.
Yeah, that's like that's kind of like another thing I kind of want to see in a coach that we hire. Like I want to need like you want to get that guy that can really inspire like the team, because JB never really, like, whenever you saw him like in those like timeout like where they gave you like clips of what he was saying to the guys, like it was basically just like a bunch of cliches and it didn't seem like it was really like inspiring stuff. Whereas like if like we get like a Kenny or like a Vogel, I kind of want. Like, whoever it is, I kind of want them to be, like, a leader that we can point to as, like, he is the the emotional leader of the team when, like, when you talk about like coaches, and obviously you need a guy as a player to be that guy as well. But like, I really want a coach that can really get these guys inspired.
So
cool.
Yeah. Anyways, I got nothing.
Yeah. Like, if that's like, yeah, that was about like what we wanted to talk about with the coaches, but I guess we can move on to the team in terms of free agency. Just obviously the big name that we have coming up in free agency is Dwight Howard. He's like, is basically kind of assumed that he will opt out of his contract and test the free agent waters. That so like we're probably not going to have him back next year. And I think I'm pretty sure I know how Max feels about this, but I know I'm not really. I wouldn't be really upset if he left. I'm not sure about you, Jeff, but
yeah, the nightmare is over.
I knew that was coming, but yeah, like Houston fans don't seem to be pretty upset that he's going to be going. So like, yeah, so we'll move on from him. But I wanted to run down the kind of contracts that we have on this roster and what changes you might see happening in the offseason. Like, just running down them, we have four players that are guaranteed until the end of the 17-18 season, which are Ariza, Brewer, Beverly, and Harrell. And we have two players with team options for next year in Beasley and Capella. So, like, we can re-sign them if we want to. And then we've got two players coming up that we can re-sign with qualifying offers this year in Jones and Demo. All the other players are, like, either secured or like, if you're talking about, like, Lawson, like, they're not on the roster anymore, obviously. So, like, when you look up and down that roster, like, who are players that you can point to that you either don't want to come back next year or you don't think will be here next year? Like, are there any ones you can point to straight away that you don't want?
Brewer, Jason Terry.
Yep.
I mean, what's hard?
Dwight Howard.
I was going to say, like, the reason why that this question is kind of hard to ask is because, like, so obviously, like, Brewer's kind of, like, been a popular, like, guy to hate on. But I don't know, his contract situation is like, he still has a few more years on the team, right? Or under contract?
I hope not.
In terms of like the length of the contract, like that, but because like didn't we just sign him to a contract this past offseason? So it's, you know, probably like, you know, two or three more years left, you know, I would imagine. But
yeah, it's guaranteed for another two seasons.
So I mean, like that. And I mean, maybe like the whole increase in cap thing might make it easier to trade guys like Brewer, you know, even if they're, you know, underperforming, you know, due to their contract. But I mean, that was kind of like my point, essentially, was that like, even though he's been playing, or I should say because he's playing bad, it makes it kind of hard. Like, you know, you basically just have to like cut him or something. Like, you know, or I suppose like trade him in like a second round pick to like, you know, the Kings or something.
If we give Corey Brewer away and then like also agree to give a team some cash, they might take him off our hands.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I mean, but yeah,
I'm talking for like nothing, for nothing. Like,
yeah,
that would maybe like adhere a team to us. Like, we would have to give them cash to take his contract from us.
But I mean, I guess like at that point, you might as well just like keep him just as like someone to like practice.
Take that back, Jeff. Take that back.
Because I mean, he's not like a locker room cancer, you know, like Ty Lawson was. You know, it's like.
Well, we don't know. Honestly, I want to get Jason Terry on the podcast to ask him point blank, who are these people you're talking about in the locker room every day about how they don't try, they don't care, they don't want it. Like, who are these people? Because he's on his way out. He's not. You know, that's the one bright spot of this like last few weeks is like. Jason Terry is not afraid to speak his mind, and I love it.
He's like, I'm like nearing 40. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I want to know, but I want to know, man. I want to know the beef, the details, the gritty details.
That's another thing. Like, Terry has confirmed that he is going to play next season. Like, do you want him back?
Maybe for the locker room presence, season. But yeah, I mean, he's been pretty terrible on the court. I would love to have him back if he doesn't have to play. If he doesn't have to play, I would love to have him back. But having a guy like that actually has to play substantial minutes on your team, that's not good.
Yeah, like if we can get him cheap, like I think like you might as well. If there's not really a big market for him, like you might as well, because we only paid like like a million, like 1.5 million for him this year. So that's really nothing in the upcoming cap increase. So if we can get him for another contract like that, you might as well. But and the other big question this year is we both of our big power forwards in Jones and Demo, like they're like it's kind of assumed that Jones is the guy that we're gonna let go, but like, is that what you guys are thinking? Like, if we keep one of them, it's going to be Demo?
Yeah. I was actually just, because it just occurred to me, you were asking, like, who do you want to go? Like, I guess technically Jones is a restricted free agent, and we don't have to, like, re-sign him. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, what happened this year. Because, I mean, it's possible that it was just, like, a weird, you know, weird injury season for him. Like, what was it? He got run over or something, like, in a car accident, and, like, I can't even think of like what all weird injuries he's had. Like there was like an eye injury or something in there in the mix.
Yeah, and, like an eye laceration and like a lacerated, I don't know, some crazy stuff.
But and like some like infection or something. But I mean also like he was even like more, because I mean he wasn't really known for like, you know, being a good rebounder and like, you know, playing, you know, good defense. But like it was even worse, you know, this year. So it's like. And I mean, he wasn't bringing it on the offensive end. Like he was even more inconsistent, you know, because like at the beginning of the year when he was kind of, like he was getting like a lot more minutes. I was like, oh, you know, Jones, you know, I mean, he's really inconsistent. But I mean, you know, when he's there, like you know, he can, you know, drop like a 20-point game out of nowhere, you know. So I mean, I guess you just kind of have to like ride the highs and like, you know, when he's not playing well, like you know, get him to the bench, you know, like faster, I suppose.
But, I'll make it easy for you, Jazz. The only person I'll name two people on this team, and I don't even have to name them. Just saying that we should keep for next year. Everyone else is expendable. I wouldn't care if they got cut at all. James Harden, Michael Beasley. Everyone else, get them out of here. And I mean, obviously, there's guys like Clint Capella who, obviously, I don't mind if we keep him around. But if he gets dealt and or he, you know, for whatever, you know, Morey is crazy. So no one is safe except for James Harden. Beasley's not safe, especially. I mean, like he's obviously a really good piece right now to trade away potentially. And Morey's crazy, so I would not be surprised and I wouldn't be mad if anyone on this team, same, not named James Harden, was not on the team next year. Wouldn't care, wouldn't faze me, would actually get me excited. Everybody else, you know, you had, and I almost said you had your chance to show it. Some of these guys didn't really have a chance to show it. You know, they didn't get enough minutes. But at the same time, I mean, you know, how bad were you in practice that you didn't get minutes over these guys? You know, how bad could these guys possibly have been in practice to not take the job away from Corey Brewer?
Yeah, that was just, especially in that first game against Golden State, it was just baffling that he got the starting spot over guys like Demo and Beasley.
Yeah, that was when I saw that, I was just like, well, okay, that's what it's like to be a Rockets fan.
It's like, well, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty on the side of you, Max, where it comes to like who comes back next year. Like if we make like substantial changes, excluding James Harden, obviously, then like I'm just like, do whatever you need to do. Like,
yeah, it's shake it up. Can't be worse.
Like when you got James Harden, like he's basically an offense creator. So like it's like whoever you put on the team is gonna like shoot, like is gonna like basically just fill a role and not really like take that away from him. So like if you can have James Harden, maybe Michael Beasley, then like I'll be fine with that. I guess the only one I really kind of be upset about is if we trade a Demo, because he offered, especially coming into that last part of the season, he offered like some kind of stability and consistency at the power forward position.
I mean, it kind of sucked because, like, yeah, especially like in March, I want to say he had like a couple of good games and then kind of like, but never really followed that up. And then, I mean, he had like a couple of good games in the playoffs, or not good, but like solid games. So, but I mean, yeah, like, because I guess it depends on like how much he would get in restricted free agency. Like, you know, maybe you get someone like, you know, maybe it's the Pistons, you know, because they try to trade for him. Maybe they just, like, you know, offer him, like, the max, you know, type of deal. And we might have to think twice about, you know, keeping him at that point. But I mean, if it's, like, a reasonable deal, you know, I certainly wouldn't mind bringing him back. I mean, I guess we're kind of banking that the, you know, injury, you know, issues he had, like, last year and this year, you know, are kind of, like, you know, starting to go away. But, I mean, again, like, it, you know, maybe this is a thing that kind of haunts him for his whole career. I mean, it's hard to tell, but like, I guess, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had like, you know, a really good year to start, you know, this coming season, if, you know, whoever he ends up playing for.
But, yeah. So I guess like our opinion in terms of free agency is just like if we, like, James Harden staying, everyone else, like, we, maybe even Michael Beasley stays, but like it's kind of like a crapshoot. Like, if, like, whoever comes back, like, is fine, unless it's like Brewer, or maybe, I don't know, like, another guy I probably don't want back is Jones, but like, it's kind of like they're gonna do what they're gonna do, and yeah, like, it's not really guaranteed either way. But I guess just like, before we move on from like these are trade rumors and stuff, like, I don't know if you guys like heard some of the chatter on Twitter, but like, there were so many fans that, like, after, like, I think it was like game 4, they were like saying that we should trade James Harden. Like I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, the second, you know, someone said, it's like, no, just like, and I mean, I almost don't even want to argue with them, because it's like, okay, clearly, you know, I mean, I was probably this guy like, you know, 20 years ago or something. Or, I mean, not 20 years ago, but like, you know,
I was like, how old are you, Jeff?
No. Well, I mean, I'm 29, so I mean, that'd make me like 20 years ago. But I mean, I would. I mean,
so, yeah.
But okay, so like, let's say like 12 years ago or something, I might have been like close to this type of person, where it's like, because I don't know like what's going on. But then, you know, so I mean,
you're ranting over MSN Messenger.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of like, I want to say like the argument back then was like, oh, McGrady versus, you know, Kobe, but you know, but I mean, like, at least back then, you know, that I'm not saying like trade James, you know, Harden. I'm saying like, oh, another All Star is better than another, like, you know, All Star. That's, you know, so that's like more of a reasonable, you know, debate than, you know, trading, you know, the only good player on your team, essentially. And he's like under 30, you know, like, it's not even like he's, you know, old. It's like he's, you know, I don't, you know, 27, 28, or however old he is. But I mean, it's not like he's, you know, this is going to be his last, you know, big contract, you know, whenever that comes up. But, yeah, anyways.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, just like, point out how silly it was. Like, no, there's like, if you don't change your time, like, it's just like a stupid thing to say. Just like, as you said, the only like good offensive player on your team is just like, there's no point in starting another rebuild right now. Like, you might as well break down the roster apart from him and then rebuild around him.
Instead of, like, he's what, like 23, 24, 25 years old? The dude, like, what, people are jumping ship already on, you know, one of the top 6-7 basketball players in the world?
Well, I mean, the crazy thing about the whole, I guess now we're getting into it, but I mean, I'm going to just,
sorry,
just because, well, no, I mean, it's fine. Well, no, I mean, I'm continuing it, so we're all, you know, part of the problem. Well, no, but I mean, the crazy thing is because, I mean, like, you go back 4 years, and it's like, we had, you know, Kevin Martin, Scola, Lowry, you know, basically, you know, like, a good, like, you know, a good, like our top 3 or 4 guys were, like, solid, but, like, no superstar. And then, you know, and basically the whole point of, you know, doing, you know, like, you know, building like that was to eventually be able to, like, either use cap space to sign a superstar or trade for a superstar, which eventually we ended up, you know, trading for Harden. So, I mean, it seems kind of stupid to turn around and be like, oh, well, now we don't want the superstar. Now we want to just, like, you know, rebuild because, like, you know, the whole point of rebuilding was to get to this point, you know, so, like, you know, why do you not want to, you know, try to change other things to get better instead of, you know, starting over, just only so that we can get back to this point where we have a guy like Harden again? You know, it seems kind of silly to me. I don't know.
It is silly. Like, you like, it's not like just you, Jeff. Yeah. It's a silly thing to
it's
say.
It's like, anyone else? No.
I don't even know what to say to people who say that. I was like, what are you talking about?
So, not to get too off topic, but that's kind of like one of the themes of our podcast, I feel like, is like getting way off topic. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. Speaking of silly trades, back when I used to answer phones for a local radio station, sports station, it was back when Tracy McGrady was on the team. He'd been on the team for a few years. He had a lot of back issues. He was actually out, you know, with a back issue at this time. I don't remember the exact, you know, time that this happened, but it was basically Trace McGrady was in the downward spiral of his career, and the Lakers were about to win a bunch of championships. They were in the midst of it, again, winning their two more championships. or going to two and winning one. Anyway, I get a call. I would get calls like this every day, all the time. And this caller, he calls me up. I remember the first time it happened. He calls me up, and you know, the guys on the show are talking Rockets, and so I answer the phone, saying, you know, hey, what do you want to talk about? And he says, you know, I just don't get why the Rockets don't trade Tracy McGrady for Kobe. And I said, and I'm like, excuse me? And this is, you know, like this is like MVP Kobe, and can't get on the court with because of back spasms. Tracy McGrady, we're talking. And I said, excuse me? And he says, I just don't see why we don't trade Tracy McGrady for Kobe. And I said, you know that like the Lakers wouldn't go for that at all. And he's like, why not? It's one player for one player. And I'm like, are you joking, sir? Or is this something like this like a real take? And he's like, man, it's one superstar for one superstar. You just trade, you know, Rockets are dumb for not trading for Kobe. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like the average sports fan's level of expertise in these matters. It's like, oh, why don't we just trade for Kobe? You know, some people, that's the same people out there that are like, we need to just trade James Harden and get, you know, Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook or LeBron. Why don't we just trade James Harden to the Cavs and get LeBron? It's just that, it's that easy. Come on. You know, people are that dumb.
Did you answer his question? Did you answer his question? Why didn't
we just trade Brady for Kobe? I hung up on him. And I hung up on everybody that would call with a question like that. I wouldn't even the subsequent people who would call with a question like that. I didn't even entertain them. I didn't ask them if they were serious. I just hung up because that I would get questions like that all the time. It was so ridiculous.
I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. Like one player for one player. It just seems like it just makes sense.
Jeff hit the nail on the head. Like even like 12-year-old me would think that that's like one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. Like if I was to turn like accept all trades on NBA and I did that trade, I would feel dirty for cheating so bad. Like it's just like so it's so dumb. Like that's the level of stupidity we're talking about with some sports fans. So I just wanted to bring that up and say that's why you see people say, "Why don't we just trade James Harden?" Because they don't realize how hard it is to get a guy like James Harden. Like. You know how many times we tried? We tried to get Bosch. We tried to get Pau Gasol. We tried. I mean, like this thing just didn't happen easy. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, I mean, it took a few. Years. I mean, I guess if you want to go back to like all the trades that led to the James Harden trade, like it was like a few years. I want to say, but I mean, that's
man, what do we do? Trade Jeremy Lamb for James Harden straight up? That's how it went down, right? It was that easy.
I mean, sure. In video games, that's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Ah, so silly.
I remember when Vaughn Wafer was going to be the next savior of the Rockets. Jeff, do you remember that? When people thought Vaughn Wafer was the savior, they were like, why doesn't he just...
Like, I was... Because, I mean, he was kind of like the Michael Beasley... I guess going back to, like, that... I forget what year that was, but, like... wasn't that, I think that was the year that we, like, won got out of the league in Portland. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on that team. Like, I was kind of, like, I wasn't, like, thinking he was going to be this awesome player, but, like, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, like, the Michael Beasley.
He had, like, a Lin Sanity moment. He had, like, a few really, really good games out of nowhere. Nobody knew who he was or where he came from. And his name was Vaughn Wafer, which was a really weird name. Yeah. He had a cool faux hawk back when faux hawks were really cool. So, I mean, like, he was, like, the next thing. Everybody loved him, and then just, like, he couldn't sustain any of it, so...
Man, I couldn't do that job. Like, I'd just be like, man, like, I can't handle the stupidity.
It's hard.
For
it's hard.
It's not cool.
No, the answering like, stupid, you know, people saying, like, you know, trade Kobe for, you know, for McGrady or something. Like, you know, it's like, I don't even know what, because, I mean, I just, you know, go to my, like, quiet place for an hour and, like, you know, forget that, like, that moment happened. But, like, you can't exactly do that if that's what you do for a living. Like, you have to, like, address it.
Oh man, I mean, as you said, like the stupidity of some people is just astounding. I just want to go back to your four-hawk comment. Like, we had two people on this team that had four-hawks. How are they not cool? Well, yeah, James Harden and Dwight Howard rocking it.
I think his was more like pronounced, if I remember correctly. Like it was like a lot more like
it was like the tall faux-hawks. Back when those were cool. Like now they're kind of doing them like. Just like the fade, but like the extra, you know, you just go lower on the sides. that kind of faux hawk. Like, no, this was like he had like a tall. Here, let me pull up a Von Wafer picture and I'll link it to you. Back so in his it, heyday.
So it's not quite a Jeremy Lin Hawk, but it's more than say a James Harden Hawk.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what the podcast is now. Becoming hairstyles. All right. So yeah, well,
yeah, I'm linking it right now. Here you go. Here you go. That's Von Wafer. And I feel like it
was.
You know what? I found a better one. That one's not as high as it was. Here's a better one.
That's not that
this
bad.
This is great podcast since nobody can see what we're actually looking it's at. Like
everyone just, we're just gonna, you know, Von Wafer. Yeah,
Von Wafer. Hawk.
Don't worry. This will be the wafer hawk. This will be the image for the podcast on the site.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
People are gonna be so confused. Like, how did that happen?
I mean, that first one looked like James Harden, like a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, the second one was higher. That was, and like I said, he was the talk of the town for a good like 18 days. Everybody thought he was the next big thing.
Oh, speaking of off tangents, you were talking about Ryan Bowens before. He is the assistant head coach for the Nuggets, so maybe we can get him in as the new head coach.
Speaking of former players, yeah.
And goddamn, that is a pronounced for a Hawk, I see.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, the name of this podcast is going to be Ryan Wafer. I don't even know what this guy's name is. Is it Ryan Wafer? Or Brian Wafer? I don't even know. I've never heard of it. Von Wafer, you said?
Yes, Von. V-O-N, like Von Miller, which you don't know who that is because it's an American football player. Yeah. Von Wafer. Wafer as in like the thing, like the body of Christ that you eat if you're a Catholic?
A wafer, yes, I know what like a wafer is, Max.
Okay. I don't know. I found out what a wafer was when Von Wafer came to prominence in Houston. That's when I found out what a wafer was. I'm not Catholic.
Oh man. So we know what the rebuild is going to be. So Von Wafer, Ryan Bowens, and who else? Get Ty Lawson back. Maybe
Kenny Smith is going to be coaching.
Oh wait, before we completely derail, because I mean we're kind of like railing back into free agency. I mean, did we ever talk about like who we wanted in free agency? Like, because I mean, there's guys like Hassan Whiteside, and I mentioned Ryan Anderson earlier. And
hold on, Hassan Whiteside is not leaving Miami. Like, they're not going to let him go. He's had too good of a season.
Well, no, nah, I think the issue with Whiteside,
the amount of money they're going to have to pay him.
Well, no, I think like they're like capped on how much they can actually spend on him. They can't like they don't have his bird rights. I forget. Like, I think it's because he was like signed with like a. Or he hasn't been there for 3 years, or I forget like what the rule is, but like that's what the story is. That's why people are talking about him in free agency, is because you know unless they sign him like with all cap room, they're not going to be able to like re-sign him. And they have like guys like Dwayne Wade and stuff like that are isn't Luol Deng a free agent, or I forget who else that they also have to re-sign. So I mean, that's why people are talking about that he's potentially a free agent.
Yeah, I mean he's an unrestricted free agent, so I mean. He potentially could go wherever he wants. I mean, he doesn't have to stay in Miami. Obviously, Miami, just like Texas, doesn't have state income tax, so he makes good money. And I think they can offer him... Or you said they don't have his bird rights. Usually they would be able to...
Or yeah, so I don't think... You know, I'm not quite sure how that applies. I mean, the only thing I know is
he has only
go...
been there for 2 years. I mean, and it's a completely different contract. I mean, he had one-year contract over in... Memphis, and now he's had a 2-year contract. I think you might be right. He might need to have a 3-year contract to have their bird rights. So I think technically he is completely open market, as in like they can't offer him more money than the Rockets, which is great. I mean, he's going to get max offers from 15 teams, probably a max offer.
In that case, I'll definitely go for Hassan Whiteside. Like in the very few games I've seen of him, he's definitely got a better post game than Dwight Howard ever had. Like he's actually shown some decent improvement in that, and he's got at least a 15-foot jump shot. So that's a good thing, and also he can make free throws. So yeah, all around better than Dwight Howard.
The antithesis almost of Dwight Howard.
But,
so yes, if he is unrestricted as you guys say, then I would say go in for him.
Yeah, we got really derailed. I mean, the last free agent we mentioned was Kevin Durant. So,
Well, because we were talking about who we would keep, like, from our team, but, like, I'm like, it's almost more interesting, in my opinion. Like, there's, like, so many guys that we could go after. And, like, if Dwight Howard ends up opting out, like, I think we have, like 30 million or 30, like some crazy amount of money.
We have a lot of money. Yeah. Lots of money.
I mean, if we're talking about, like, the top of the pack for agents, then I would love us to go for a guy like Mike Conley. But then, like, you run the risk of having the situation where, like, Beverly doesn't really flourish in a bench role. Because, like, if you get Mike Conley, then you kind of have to move Beverly to the bench. And that didn't really work out at the start of the season. So I don't know about that.
If Mike Conley's all right. I don't know if he fits this team. Honestly, I think we honestly just need more. We need role players. And maybe a post-star like Hassan Whiteside. You know, somebody who can play give some offense. Somebody to take the pressure off of Harden, you know, to always be the one to create. I mean, he's obviously complained before about how much he's relied on the offense. Whether or not you like him complaining about that, I think it's almost undebatable that it is true that he's relied on more than almost any other player in the entire NBA to carry his team offensively. So, I mean, we want somebody to be able to do that. At the same time, obviously, defense is huge in this NBA. You need to be able to play defense if you're going to be a starter. So, I mean, we'll see.
Talk about defense, and yeah, Whiteside is definitely, like, he can be an anchor for, like, the inside, like, the paint defense, because he's, like, a monster when it comes to blocks. And, like, I'm not talking about him like he's some kind of post-star. Like, he's not that good yet, but, he's definitely shown improvement in that area this year, and if we do get him, then I think, like, he would learn a lot from Hakeem Olajuwon, whereas Dwight Howard never really seemed to apply in any kind of effective way, whereas a young guy like Hassan Whiteside might really get some really good tips in terms of, like, post moves from Hakeem. So that would actually be great to see. I would love that.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no, like, other than Kevin Durant himself, like, there's no other, like, you know, like, that type of, like, all-star player. But, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of, like, there's, you know, Al Horford, you know, Conley we brought up, you know, like, Pau Gasol and, you know, Whiteside, which talked about. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that are kind of, like, that tier below. So,
Pau would be nice, but, like, he's a bit old now.
I mean, we can't, like, bank on just, like, signing, like, a huge. I mean, maybe we get lucky, you know, Kevin Durant's, like, you know, like, like, with blackmail, with, you know, I don't even know what would, you know, how that would happen, but, like,
just like blackmail?
Yeah. I can't, that's the only way I can think of where, like, why he would choose Houston, like, you know, after the, I mean, as disappointing as, like, you know, people think the Thunder have been, like, you know, the Rockets haven't, you know, especially after this year, like, that's kind of why I'm like, okay, Durant's probably not going to happen, let's just get that out of the way, let's, but,
I mean, if you end up with a real big three of Harden, Durant, and Whiteside, like, that would be, like, if we had anything less than a top, like, one or two seed, that would be the, like, probably the most disappointing season in NBA history.
Don't even joke like that, Jazz. Don't even mention Whiteside, KD, and James Harden. That's too much for me to handle.
Oh, I'm just, like, getting the shakes right now. It's like, oh, I'm sweating. Oh, man, like, this is, at least we got a little bit hype at the end of this podcast, but was there any other guys you wanted to target, or was there anything else you guys wanted to bring up before we close this surprisingly upbeat episode of the podcast?
Yeah, towards the end. No, I mean, it got bad, like, in the middle for a while, so, I mean, let's not...
Yeah, if you guys want to just, like, skip through that middle part, then that's fine with us. Just, like, if you get, like, the start and the end, that's great.
Sounds about right.
Was there anything else you guys want to bring up?
That was basically all my, like, free agent, you know, talk. It's kind of hard to go into any more details, you know, without it actually being free agency and like, seeing, you know, who's, because, I mean, like, a lot of these guys, you know, they might just re-sign with their teams. Like, Ryan Anderson's probably not going to re-sign with the Pelicans because, like, you know, they're even more disappointing than us this year. So, I mean... But, I mean, like, you know...
If that's possible, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... But, I mean, like, guys like, you know, White... Well, like, I guess, like, Whiteside's probably going to be a free agent. You know, we already talked about, like, why. But guys like Mike Conley, you know, for the Grizzlies, you know, you know, technically that team, you know, did better than us this year. And I mean, you know, so it's kind of hard to, they could just as easily just resign with their team. And I think, you know, in most cases they could be offered more money. So that's kind of the other, you know, the whole Berberts thing. So I mean, that's kind of why it's kind of hard, because some guys, you know, it might just end up, you know, we have a lot of these guys just like re-signing their teams, and it's like, okay, well, now there's only like three people on the market, you know. So yeah.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that. But were there any last jabs you wanted to throw at Dwight Howard before we? Because this is probably the last time we talk about him as a part of this team, Max. So did you want to get any last little jabs in?
I don't know. I've said basically the worst things you can say about a professional athlete to about Dwight Howard in the course of this season in the podcast. So, I mean, I think the worst thing that I could ever say about Dwight Howard, he already said about himself, which was, no matter what anyone says, I'm a champion. I know it.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring that up. Looking back on it, it makes it even more sad. Oh man,
I can't wait till his career ends and nobody will hire him for anything. He's got the personality of a shoe.
I mentioned this before. I actually think he'd be like a good. He'd be like a good Charles Barkley, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, like, you know, for TNT. You know, he's that really? Type of personality.
Oh god, no! Shaq would devour him.
Well,
Shaq,
I mean, not working with Shaq, but like another team.
No, can you imagine anybody lofting any criticism his way and him just giving that big, you know, fake smile, like, you know, like, oh, what, you know, what? You know, criticism, what? Adversity, what? I'm Dwight Howard. Like,
yeah.
Like, I can't imagine him being a pundit at all. Oh, God, no. It'd be terrible.
Oh, you just throw it to the big man. You just got to let him get his shots. That'll be Dwight Howard. Be like a worse version of Shaquille O'Neal, how he always like makes people like want to focus on centers. He's terrible, is what I say.
Yeah.
So goodbye, good riddance to Dwight Howard. Hopefully, he does have his own options. So you never know, he could stay on the team. So let's cross our fingers and bang our heads on the wall if he does. I think that'll be it for this podcast. We haven't made any plans about like what we're going to do in the off season. We might, I don't know if you guys want to do like a podcast at the end of the finals, maybe talk about that and then get in more in depth about free agency. But we'll just keep posted on the feed, and we might have like one or two episodes in the off season. But that'll be it for the season. And what a bumpy road it was, guys.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Cool. Awesome. Sweet. Awesome. Yeah. So just to close it out, you can find us on iTunes at 3 Men and a Beer. As I said, we'll be very sporadic in this off season. But if you can rate and review us, this helps people find us. You can find all the post game recaps, not for a while, on multiplesources.net/FusionRockets. Unfortunately, I think all the teams featured on the site are out of the playoffs, so not going to be much traffic on that front for a while. But we also have a Twitter account for the show at 3menandbeard13 on Twitter. That'll probably be down as well. And you can email the show at 3menandbeard@gmail.com if you want to send us an email or do something like that. So other than that, goodbye, Dwight Howard, and go Rockets, I guess.
You've only gone and downloaded a multiplesources.net podcast. For more episodes of this show and a bunch of other content covering everything from NBA teams to professional wrestling, visit multiplesources.net. Multiplesources.net. But wait, act now and you too could join multiplesources.net. Yeah, we're looking for people to do their own podcasts about different NBA teams. We're looking for blog authors, video highlight creators, basically anything you can think of to write about sports, you can kind of write or create to your heart's content. So if you want to help us and join this up-and-coming independent blog and podcast network monster, go to multiplesources.net. I'll stick something in the sidebar that says join us or something equally unfunny. So go and click on that. Join us.